light to guide our feet, the 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53 in the Old Testament, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. The reading begins at verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 12. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's righteous servant. God's righteous servant. God's righteous servant. Our topic for this worship service. At the outset, I call particularly to young ministers, and with more specificity, to ministers who have been to neither Bible school nor seminary. If you are a minister who has been to neither Bible school nor seminary, and if you have not previously read this particular scripture in the Holy Bible, Isaiah chapter 53. My brother, I call you to this particular scripture. My sister, I call you to this particular scripture. I beg of you that you do all you can to become very familiar with Isaiah chapter 53. It is one of the capstones of the Holy Word of God. It tells about Jesus Christ. Not only does it tell about Jesus, it prophesies about him. It gives us much information about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus is born on planet Earth in the flesh. You want to know as much as you can know about Isaiah chapter 53. And once you learn it, the Bible will begin to make more and more and more sense to you. The economy of Almighty God will begin to make more and more and more sense to you. How God forgives the sins of human beings will begin to make more and more and more sense to you. Salvation, its process, will begin to make more and more and more sense to you. Isaiah chapter 53 is absolutely critical to be understood by every minister, not only by ministers, but by Sunday school teachers and Bible school teachers and those of you who would in any way expound on the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 53 is critical. It is the prophecy. It is the scriptural prophecy, or one of those scriptural prophecies of Jesus Christ, even depicting his crucifixion, even depicting his pouring out his soul on behalf of those who are sinners. It is through him, and particularly through the picture of what we see that he brings to reality, that we are saved. Isaiah chapter 53 starts out with, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Young minister, there are many who will not perhaps want to listen to you. And at least to some of you, there are some ministers everybody seems to want to listen to. But some of us, few people want to listen to. And so this true prophet asks this question, "Who hath believed our report?" This seems to be a question that true ministers of God must ask. We bring a word that seems to those who are merely logic, impossible. We bring a message that seems to those who are merely scientific as being impossible. We bring a message that seems to those who are unregenerated, impossible, until they begin to believe, until faith comes into their heart by the power of the very words that they first rejected. That's another reason why you do not stop preaching the gospel. For people, men will reject the gospel, but the gospel has the power to save souls. Why do you think the devil and his people do not want the gospel of Jesus Christ in our school systems? Why do you think the devil and his people do not want us to speak of Jesus Christ in public except in a church setting? They know there is power in the word of God, and they are afraid that the power in the word of Almighty God will reveal the absolute falseness of all false gods, of all idol gods. And they do not want that competition. Therefore, they have fought against the word of God. They have legislated against the word of God. And with specificity, they have legislated against the name that is prophesied here. His name is Jesus. This particular scripture does not specifically state the name Jesus Christ, but it is against the God person that we read about in Isaiah chapter 53 that they have legislated against. Don't be foolish. People do not oppose that which has no power. People do not go to great extents to oppose that which cannot do any harm to them, to that which they care about. But this can do harm to that which is false. This is the true, and they do not want the false to be measured against the true. That's why they say you cannot read the Bible in the school system, or at least in some places they won't let you read the Bible. And then people will extrapolate that to other things. They will say, well, if you can't do this Christian thing, you can't do that Christian thing. I personally have experienced it. I have experienced officials who extrapolated from one thing another prohibition and another prohibition. And I've had to stand against that in the workplace and say, no, it does not say that. Even though there may be a law that says this, now you are saying it says that, and it says that, and it says that, and it does not say that. And we do not agree with any law that says God has no place in anything. I do not agree to any law that says God has no place in anything. The God who made the world, the God who owns the earth, the God who made me, the God who made everything. And when you try to exclude him from anything, you offend me. When you try to exclude Almighty God from anything, you exclude me. You say, well, I'm a witchcraft worker, and I try to exclude him from my witchery. Well, witchcraft worker, if you bring him in, he's going to destroy that witchcraft, and he's going to change you. So no, you should not misuse him, but if you name the name of Jesus, the power therein is going to do something. Don't you name his name in doing witchcraft. But if you just say that you know Jesus Christ, or that he is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, something will begin to happen to you. There is power in that name. For God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. to the glory of God the Father. That's why they oppose us, and they try to call us degrading names, and they cast aspersions on us and that what we do, and they are OD'd on religion. They are fundamentalists. How can you be pure in anything without embracing the fundamentals of it? How can you be pure in anything without embracing the fundamentals of it? How can you say this is pure water if it does not contain the fundamentals of water? You Christians who've been pushed back from the fundamentals of Jesus Christ, don't be stupid. Don't be idiotic. Don't let the devil push you back from the fundamentals of Christianity, some of which you find right here in Isaiah chapter 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He doesn't come with all this pretty, 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 and beauty, beauty, beauty. He doesn't come from some king's palace on earth. He is from the palace of palaces and from the throne in glory. But on earth, he comes from a city, a little town about which a man named Nathanael asked, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's where he comes from. He comes from a supposedly almost rejected and particularly bad reputed town. So badly reputed that a man asks another man, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? The goodest of the good, if I may use that term, goodest. The best of the best, the goodest of the good, came out of Nazareth. That's how God operates. That which man thinks has no value, that which man thinks is over the hill, that which man thinks can never recover, that about which man asks, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The goodest of the good, the best of the bestest, if that is a word, came out of Nazareth. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus Christ, came out of Nazareth. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. If you are a true minister, you may suffer the elements of the verse in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. If you are a true minister, you may have already suffered the elements outlined, or some of them outlined, in Isaiah chapter 3, verse Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Many true ministers have suffered these very elements. Many true ministers have suffered these very elements. Which elements, Reverend? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I have experienced things in life that I never imagined would happen to me on planet Earth. They were not in my life plan. They were not along the plan, the route that I planned for myself. But they happened, and when they happened, they were almost unbelievable. But God said, hold to my unchanging hand, son. God said, move on, son, move forward. Move, son, move. Move forward, son, move forward. I've got you, son, I've got you. Some of you are going to be rebuked when you stand before God because you fell by the wayside, and God is going to, perhaps he may say to you, but I had you. I had you in my hand. Didn't you know I had you in my hand? Lord, I lost my job and I was about to starve, and so I went out and robbed somebody. God can say to you, but I had you. But God, I was hungry. But I had you, son. But God, I thought I was going to starve to death. But I had you in my hand, son. But I had you in my hand, daughter. Lord, I went out and I committed sexual sin because I needed money. But I had you in my hand, my daughter. I had you. But Lord, I was hungry. My children was hungry. But I had you. But Lord, I didn't see any food coming. But I had you in my hand, my daughter. The things that can happen along this way that you never planned for, that you never imagined. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This speaks of Jesus Christ. He came from heaven. He is that God person who came from heaven, lived as a man, and died on the cross at Calvary. He was dead, was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He died for our sins according to the scripture. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. And mind you, ungodly Christian, quote unquote, not for the sins we plan to do in the future. When you plan to sin and say, well, Jesus died for this sin, that's you and the devil. The devil has deceived you, and you are playing with God. And there are some of you who play with God. And there are some of you ministers who play with God. Well, Jesus has died for my sins, and so I'll go sin. And that is not what it means at all. You are playing with God. And you need to know that God does not play. It is dangerous to play with someone who does not play. It is dangerous to play with someone who does not play. There is some minister who sees that pretty girl sitting out there, and he wants her no matter what. And so he rationalizes, well, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's what the cross was all about. And so, Lord, I'm going to do this sin because you know you died for my sin and you know I'm not perfect. You are playing with God, and God does not play. You are playing with God, and God does not play. Women have told me things that ministers have said to them. Women have told me ungodly things. I'm not accusing you falsely. Women have told me ungodly things. And then I was at a place a few months ago, and a man who is a minister began to tell me ungodly things that ministers are doing. I'm not charging you falsely, but I'm calling you to a realization that Almighty God does not play. When you play with him, you're going to get burned. You're going to get burned initially, temporarily. But if you don't watch out, you're going to burn eternally. How can I burn? I'm a preacher. I'm saved. If you are sinning, you probably are not saved. Well, I've been preaching 40 years. If you are sinning, you probably are not saved. If you've been sinning those 40 years, more than likely you are not saved. But I'm a bishop. And if you are sinning, Bishop, more than likely you are not saved and you are on your way to hell. But I know that many people to whom I preach got saved. And you are right, Bishop. They will be in heaven. And if you don't change, you will be in hell with a whole lot of other bishops who are like you or were like you, who preached and got many saved and then they died and went to hell. God does not play. Don't play with my God. He does not play. And I don't blame him. I don't like men that play. When I come upon men who play, I get away from them. I don't do business with them. I don't mess with men who play. And if I don't like men who play, you had better bet yourself that Almighty God does not play. Almighty God does not play. Now you play with him, you go to his church, and you cut the fool at life. You're going to do all you want to do in God's house. God does not play. Yes, Isaiah chapter 53 is about Jesus dying for our sins. But you see, you are esteeming Jesus to be stupid. You have evaluated God to be stupid when you decide that you are going to sin because Jesus died. Anybody who decides that, well, because Jesus died, I'm going to sin, you are really saying in a tacit manner that God is stupid, that I can outsmart God. I'm smarter than God. God backed himself into a corner. He had Jesus to die for my sins. Oh, he never should have done that. He never should have let me know that, because once I knew that, then I knew I could sin and it would be all right. And you are lying. Somebody has lied to you. You play with God and you get burned. I guarantee it. You play with God and you get burned, either temporarily or permanently. You play with God and you get burned. But what about Jesus? Jesus is not ignorant. Jesus is not foolish. Jesus is not stupid. God is not ignorant. God is not foolish. God is not stupid. As a matter of fact, he sees your heart. He knows more about your sin than you know. And you're going to try to fool him. You can't fool God. I'm talking about God's righteous servant. 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 Jesus Christ, as we see him prophesied here in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Then that preacher comes up and says, you see, Reverend, see right there, Reverend, in verse 16, in verse 6, in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 6, it says all, A-L-L, Reverend, that means all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, Reverend, you see, if I see that pretty girl, I want to do something with her. You see, the Lord says all. And you are saying the Lord is stupid. You are saying the Lord is foolish. You are saying the Lord is ignorant. You are saying that you can outsmart God. Please, 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 go read the Bible. Please, go pray. Please, go get saved. Please, go get saved. If you are sinning under the auspices of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, please, go get saved. Please go get. I've been a deacon in this church 50 years. I started this church. Please go get saved, deacon, quote unquote. What do you know about being a deacon, Paige? I was a deacon and a good one. I know what it means to be a deacon, and I know what deacons do. Yes, I went home one night from a deacon meeting crying, because the deacon meeting was just that heavy. I know what it means to be a deacon. Yeah, I know what it means to be a deacon. I know what it means to be holy. I know what people do. You're doing that mess. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, deacon. Go get saved. He was opposed. He was oppressed. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 7, chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb dumb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 3. I'm talking about that which you hear most about at Easter time. I'm talking about Jesus who died for our sins according to the scripture. I'm talking about Jesus who was buried. I'm talking about Jesus Christ who rose again the third day according to the scriptures. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. God gave him for our transgression. But God is not playing. He never has. He never will. Don't play with God. Yes, he gave salvation, but God also has a hell. He will save you if you are willing to be saved. He will send you to hell if you are not willing to be saved. It is just that simple. God will save you if you are willing to be saved. He will send you to hell if you are not willing to be saved. God does not play. God does not play. God does not play. You may be playing in God's house, but God ain't playing. He is not playing. He is not playing. You are warned, and you need to listen to me. I have warned people many times, and I've seen the judgment of God come on the people. God has shown me the judgment of people of God. God has shown me the judgment of his judgment come on people. God has had me warn people. And people have not heeded my warning. You need to listen to me. I'm not bragging, but let me tell you, Reverend, I'm heavy in the Lord. Now, I'm not bragging, but I can recount to you time after time after time, person after person after person that I have encountered and who opposed me or who did not listen to me, and death came unto them. I can recount to you that God will deal with people who play with him. When you hear a true servant of God, I don't have time to tell you about it, but there was a very, very high man. If I called his name, you would know him. He came to a seminary I was attending. I asked him a question. He was a very, very high official. And if I called his name, you would know him. I asked him a question. And he got ignorant with me and jumped down my throat. That man died in office. And if I called his name, you would know him. You say, well, Paige, how do you know it's because he jumped down your throat? Well, I didn't say anything. God handles my business. But I guarantee you, he's not the only one. Oh, Paige, you are off your rocker. Well, say what you want, but you better listen to me. I come with the word of God. I don't come in my own name. I come in the name of Jesus Christ. You had better beware. When I tell you something, you had better beware. I don't let my children argue with me, because if they argue with me, God might do something to them. That's just how serious it is. I don't let them argue with me, because God might do something to them. I have seen God do things to people to whom I have ministered. God does not play. Don't you play with God, Reverend. Don't you play with God, Deacon. If you are sinning, you need to go and get saved. If you are sinning, you need to go and get saved. If you are sinning, I am telling you, you need to go and get saved. And how do you know? This may be the last time God tells you that. You need to repent right now. Don't play with God. Let that woman go. Stop playing that lottery. Stop aborting babies. Stop going out and telling people that doing homosexual activity is right. You are playing with God. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I'm talking about God's righteous servant, God the Son of God. God's righteous servant, Jesus, was God's righteous servant, and he served him perfectly. He had no deceit in him. He had no guile in him. He was perfect in his generation and perfect in all times. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Sometimes God calls us to pour out all that's in us. That's why I'm preaching. I'm pouring out everything I can at whatever time I can to the glory of God. This is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. You cannot approach God on your own with your sin without going through an intercessor. That's just how almighty God is. That's just how holy God is. That's just how true God is. God does not countenance sin. God does not countenance sin. You can't go to God on your own. You must go through an intercessor, and that intercessor is Jesus Christ. Even in the Old Testament, men could not go to God on their own. They had to go to the priest and go through the priest. The priest was the intercessor. And Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is the intercessor. He is the intercessor. How many ways do we, the true ministers of God, need to tell you this? You know it, you've heard it, you are hearing it. You cannot go to God on your own. God will not countenance your sin. God will not allow sin to come into his presence and exist. You've got to go through an intercessor. That intercessor is God's righteous servant, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church.
In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17. Let's take a look, brother. I want to make a point. You see, they were very much like us. You know, some of you, you're on all kinds of media. You just want to hear what's going on.